And just before I hand over to the panel, the rest of the panel for questions, I just have a question initially. When we, as a panel, come back to deliberate in November on all of the submissions, what we received 940 submissions on the plan, of the group of submissions, of the individual submissions that form part of your group, in terms of the actual changes that you want to the notified plan provision, you'd like, we'd prefer this provision to say this instead of that. Which of the submissions best captures that for us?
The main Wilkins Farming.
That'd be the main one we should come back to initially?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that try and captures more of the specific details.
Yeah, okay.
So as we disclaimed that some of the detail, but yeah, not all, has changed in the last year, but
yep,
the main principles remain the same. Yeah.
That's helpful. Right, Lord, start at your end of the table. General questions for the group of submissions.
Yes, my first question is, have you seen the officer's 42A report?
Yes.
And were you happy with what the officers have said in regard to you? You had about four or five key points that kept coming up through all the submissions and related to the rules. Were you happy with how the officers addressed them?
Still observing the strict hectare rule for winter grazing. So I feel we addressed that today and what our interpretation should be of that. The extension or new dairy farms, again, what we addressed today is that we would like to see it relaxed in line with those other physiographic zones. Stock exclusion in the hill country, we understand from a commissioner that there's been special emphasis from central government that that's going to be a nationwide rule.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, no other forum, we didn't have any other forum to make that point, and we know that, like, a lot of these points today, you guys have been beat to death over them. But, yeah, this was our chance to make it. And the cultivation rule, I can't say I'm familiar with the Section 42A report's reference to that. I have read it, but right here and now, I can't remember their solution to that.
Okay, bearing that in mind, I'm just going back into your, I think I've got the right one, the family farming one. You made mention of Rule 40, which is silage, and Rule 41, silage leachate. You actually wanted those two rules. You're suggesting they should be combined. And you also make comment about the surface underneath the silage pit. Did you want to just
do you have a page?
Yeah, it's page 18.
So this is the Wilkins Farming Limited original submission, page 18.
Yep, yep, understood.
Yep.
To be fair, this is one of the rules that we haven't revisited since then. Page 18.
18.
Yep. Silage and silage leachate. Can you please repeat your question?
I'd just like you to, with those two rules, on page 18, 40 and 41, you suggested you like those two to be together, and you've suggested that it should be controlled, not non-compliant. So, and you've made mention there about the surface being sealed. I was just wondering whether you wanted to make any wider comment there that would help your suggestions.
Okay, going back 15 months, I think by saying controlled, it's just allowing flexibility around what might be appropriate at the time, as opposed to saying that everything must be concealed. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
We would conceal it where appropriate, and if not, flexibility not so.
Yeah, I'm happy to leave with you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah, just two questions, thank you, Chair. In your presentation today, you made a call for catchment groups to be a monitoring body or something in that area. I have to say that the plan doesn't allow us to defer responsibility to catchment groups, but I have a question that is a group consensus enough to draw recalcitrant behaviour environmentally into line without rules, or do we need some rules? Could you just talk about that?
If what you just said means, does it mean capturing community engagement? Yes. Does it mean we've got a conflict of interest? Yes, but so does Environment Southland, and we want to work together with them to provide the information required.
Have you had land sustainability officers on your, from the Environment Southland here? Have you worked with them at all?
No, we haven't had them on the property, but we had Dave Connors ironically ring me on the way here today.
Right.
In response, Steve, we requested some information about what we need to do going forward regarding all this, is that it's technically effective coming in the spring. Yeah, so that's why he's contacted, and I'm assuming that's what it's going to be about.
Yeah. Okay. My second question is, do you,
want... we have it in the waterways at Athol. We've worked with him there.
Right. My second question is, you had some fairly strong points to make around the democratic process, and that's fair enough, I guess, but what would your advice to the panel be where other submitters have said the rules are too limp and don't go far enough?
Well, they've got to take all the arguments that have been presented into context, and but an emphasis on democracy is about how we should have the choice on how to manage the land, not dictate the use of the land. And that's our take-home point. And the points we've made today, they need to take into consideration when making their assessment.
Okay, thank you.
But I'm doing a lot of talking here. If Mum or Dad or Mike want to
add
anything.
Looks like you're the nominated spokesperson.
You're always going to get those, you know, that problem, more so with the system that you've proposed here rather than the Otago one, where they, if it's not fixed, you just, you know, if you mess it up, you fix it. Whereas here it's not like that. And it opens a platform for people to come in and say what they like, for whatever reason.
I've got another hand up there, Chair.
We'll just move to our next question now.
Good. Good afternoon. Thanks for the evidence and submissions. It's been very comprehensive and understands a lot of the issues. It's very clear. I couldn't get a sense of whether you thought your farming operation and activities could fit in within the proposed rules, or in particular, I was thinking of good management practices. How do you see your function and operations occurring, and what are the issues immediately that you see trying to comply with, or do you think you comply with good management practices?
Yeah, well, all the good management practices that have been presented to us and ones that we have developed, the interesting thing about them is there is a direct synergy between economic sensible ideas and environmental sensible ideas, and we are considering all of them and using all the ones mentioned today, and there's many others that we haven't mentioned that we use. But part of our issue is the constraint saying, okay, this, it's non-complying, or we strongly discourage expansion of a dairy farm when we've made provision for growth within those dairy farms, and that might mean we've made the calf shed big enough to do a bit more. We've made the storage pond for effluent big enough to do a bit more, and we just feel that the plan is restricting and disincentivizing and disempowering us to invest further into those initiatives, to the point where, well, we feel we're best to take this investment out of this area. If that's out of Old Matara or out of Southland, that's the solution that we're considering have to be left with.
Yeah, I understand that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Newman. I have two questions, one for Mr. Wilkins, one for Dr. Splash. The first one for Mr. Wilkins about the cap you talk about on page 17 of your evidence. You talk about capping nutrients and doing other things to reduce the loss of nutrients. Can you explain in more detail what sort of things you can do or could do or are doing to reduce the loss of nitrate to deep drainage into groundwaters and into the aquifer?
Okay, so as William alluded to, the variable rate fertiliser, where we intensively soil test the farm, that's overlaid with a GPS map, and as the fertiliser spreader drives over the farm, the belt speeds up, slows down according to that map, and applies only the nutrient that's required. That's in reference to P, K, and lime, pH, calcium, and nitrogen as well. We do the same according to yield, and that's in reference to a crop calculator. We know what yield we're expecting because we can control the water, we can control a lot of the limiting factors, and we'll only put on the right amount to achieve that yield, backed up by scientific evidence. Yeah. Foundation of our research provide a lot of useful information for us with that. That we use controlled trafficking, which means that the vehicles are on the same strip year in, year out. Not only does it reduce compaction, but you find the right track in the paddock, so you know that that is going to avoid any particularly compromising areas. So that's where the GPS comes in. And then the proof of placement just backs up that you have done that and gives you the traceability and security that it's happened. So talk about the variable rate, the proof of placement, the GPS. We are investigating and actually applying on sections. We've cut the farm into certain sections and trying different nitrogen rates and identifying the response to that. And that's in line with reduction of nitrogen application rather than increasing. Foliar application, we've trialled that this year significantly. Again, in aid of reducing nitrogen. There's a long list of things that we're doing to reduce it. The variable rate application of the effluent at times where we can put more or less on where required and in the dairy context. And I think that has covered the main nitrogen.
What about losses directly from a winter grazing situation, from urine patches and that sort of thing?
Well, winter grazing, is, as we alluded to, we're partway through a model where we've just executed a new dairy conversion, and part of that plan, as profits allowed, was to implement a winter grazing pad. Yeah. And in the last 2 years since we've done that, as mentioned, coincided with 2 years of the historical lowest prices we've had. And also, it's coincided with this plan. So we're at a point now where we're not so incentivized to do it for a couple of reasons. We believe in the principle, but where we are, there's rules saying one pad per farm, etc., which is restrictive. And we are concerned that if we go down and spend all that money as we already have, is that going to be restricted down the track? Yeah. We'd be more prudent to go somewhere we've got some safer and more understood rules around us. Is that fair?
Yep.
I'll just add that we do integrate cropping on the dairy farm.
Yeah.
And that utilises excess nitrogen.
The cereal grains and beets, and the thing about them opposed to pasture.
Cereal grain behind the winter grazing.
That is limits the input of fruit.
Sorry, I'll take that from the top. Okay, so we've had a winter grazing scenario, it's followed immediately with a catch crop, which is sown right now, for one. That catch crop could be a wheat plant, and what's not terribly well documented, and it is in far publications, is that the wheat plant will go a lot deeper than the pasture plant as far as the root structure goes. So it has the ability to capture a lot more of that nitrate. Another thing we've got to help us monitor that is we have moisture probes in the soils. So what my point is about the Wyndham side model is that for 9 months of the year, barring extremes, we can see that what we're applying in irrigation and what we're applying as effluent is not going below the root zone, because we have a tape going from 0 to 50 centimetres, and then a tape flat at 1 metre. So when you see that 1 metre tape spiking, you know that you're overdoing it, and whether that's the rain or irrigation. And that information is provided to Environment South. So that is a great tool that we know within those 9-10 months of the year we can operate within the root zone and capture what's going down there. And yes, the, one of the mitigations for those other few months could be some form of catchment pad for the winter period. But also, as mentioned, there's many farmers in our district that their business model has evolved around winter support in the last 15, 20 years. And they're heavily invested in that with training and staff infrastructure. So, you know, when the negative effects of nitrate are revealed or have been revealed to us over the last few years, that's just something we've got to sensitively navigate socially to try and unpick that and try and graze them where appropriate. And it's a case of a bit like 50 years ago when we didn't know smoking was so bad for you, and then you get told that it is. You can't just rip the band-aid off and take the cigarettes off everyone. You're going to have a lot of the perverse outcomes. We've got to try and work through it and use science, as Dr. Sklash alluded to find out, is Wyndham side as adverse to polluted water as perhaps has been suggested, number one. And number two, what are the practices that are causing this? And then we can make some informed decisions and navigate around it.
Okay, thanks very much. Well, that brings me on to my other question. Dr. Sklash, can you hear all right?
Yeah, I can move on, can I?
Just a general question, really. You gave us quite a lot of information about groundwater, obviously, and groundwater flows and discharge areas and recharge areas and that. Have you spoken directly to and discussed this with Environment Southland scientists or anybody else who's familiar with this area?
No. Not hydrogeologists or hydrologists.
Okay, thanks very much.
But you have seen online...
Sorry, I have to interrupt you now, because he's an expert witness. He has to answer the question, and he's not allowed to be coached by anyone else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't know if he's seen it. I've sent him.
I see you. You're still talking, and I don't want you to talk anymore. I've got a couple of questions. The first one comes from the Wilkins Farming Limited submission. You don't need to turn to it, but it regards Rule 23. And I just wanted to ask you if you were aware of the recommendation that's been made to us by the Section 42A reporting officers that the 20 and 50 hectare thresholds be amended so that the 20 hectare threshold disappears and that a general 50 hectare threshold for intensive winter grazing applies across the whole region with no mention of physiographic zones. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. Does that ameliorate your concerns at all?
No. It does. It does in regards that if we're not singled out as so much, but it doesn't solve the issue that, as pointed out to today, a guy with 20 hectares can have a consented activity to do his whole property versus someone with 2,000 hectares is the same.
Yeah, or big guy with 50 hectares now, isn't it?
Yes.
And so you do, and that probably I don't need to ask the next question, but I will anyway, and you understand that regardless whether it's 20 hectares or 50 hectares, it's not a cap.
Yes.
It's just a threshold above which consent's required.
Yep.
And so your concern is with the consent?
Yes, that as well. Yes, correct. Yep.
Can you tell us why?
As pointed out, we think the consenting process will manipulate people's behaviour in another way. They'll look at the consent and they'll see it as a restraint or a ceiling to stay under, and that will create perverse outcomes by that will adjust their behaviour to try and get around that.
Mm-hmm.
so that, as I said, they'll try and grow as much yield as possible in a small area, import as much feed as possible, or something. For example, we could go on today.
Yeah. So your concern's not so much with having to get a consent, your concern is that it might drive people to do what might otherwise be called silly things to avoid getting a consent, or to avoid having to need to apply for a consent.
Yeah, we do have concerns with over-consenting more and more activities as farmers, and we believe there needs to be more recognition of, as we mentioned, the farmer's intuition and then also consultation with an environmental officer in case-by-case scenarios would be the default setting for us.
Yeah.
And then consenting perhaps a catchment for those that don't apply to that.
I understand that. And just my final question, and this is going to seem odd to you, but again, it's just something I need to ask. You've called Dr. Sklash as a technical expert. Technical experts are normally called to provide support for the relief sought in the submission. So in other words, if you're asking for the wording of a rule or a policy to be changed, you might call a technical expert to back up your request. So I just wanted to confirm that the point of Dr. Sklash's evidence, I've written down, is to support your opposition to provisions focused on the old Mataura physiographic zone, and in particular provisions relating to strongly discouraging consents for additional dairy farming and intensive winter grazing in that zone. Is that the main aim of the technical evidence?
The main aim of having Dr. Sklash here was to enlighten a more universal and standardised conceptual work plan to identify, understand issues, so we can address them, and that being the nitrate issue and wind inside. Does that answer?
With the ultimate aim being to amend what provisions and see.
Okay,
we
can't,
understood. Like I
understood.
Said, we won't
yep.
engage anyone to do a further work program of technical work, but
yep.
what we need to do is to decide which of the notified provisions
yep.
should be amended, and
okay.
how should they be amended?
Yeah, Rule 23, intensive winter grazing, and Rule. All ones that refer to nitrate.
Yeah.
And then Rule 22, new or expanding dairy farms.
Yeah, okay.
And Rule 22 being our main one.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So it's really to support your submission that there shouldn't be provisions that kind of pick on new dairy farming in the Tower of Physiographic Zone, is it?
Yeah, without appropriate due diligence
yeah.
done.
Well,
right,
we're not confident in the information being used to make today's decisions.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah, we just want to reiterate that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good. I don't think we have any further questions for you, so thanks very much for coming in and for the bunch of submissions that you collectively made as a group, and also for the material that you pre-circulated, and thanks very much also for the material table today. And I think we're pretty clear on what your concerns are and what you'd like us to do about them. So, thanks very much. That's the end of the hearing for today. We reconvene at 9 o'clock in the morning. Thank you.